Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with all of our listeners again today to open up God's Word and study a little bit further and learn a little bit more and grow in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We encourage you to come and check us out in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha. Many of our radio listeners have done that over the years and continue to do that, and many have stayed on with us. We simply teach God's Word. We simply want to be the church that we all read about in the Bible, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. If you're looking for the Bible to be taught, if you're looking for the Scriptures to be upheld as being God's true Word, come and check us out at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Our building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin at 9:30 on Sunday morning, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. Wednesday evenings, 6:30 each Wednesday evening, midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services. We do hope you'll come. And go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com, and check out all of the teaching material there. And particularly, click on the podcast button and sign up for the podcasting. And when you do that, it's free. It always will be free. You'll automatically receive a whole lot of Bible teaching to your smart device, whether that's your phone or computer or whichever one you choose. Again, it will be automatic, it'll be daily, and it will always be free. So take advantage of that and tell everyone else to do so as well. Everyone you know. We're going to finish up our study about a particular problem of the heart from a spiritual perspective, and that is weak faith. And this is the final section of our longer series of heart troubles or problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. We've covered a whole lot of those already. Laziness, hatred, fear, gossip, anger, worry, pride, that is ungodly pride, prejudice, selfishness, and we conclude this series with weak faith. Weak faith. And a lot of people may not stop and think about, why is my faith weak? Why do I have weak faith? Why can't I have strong faith? It's a problem of your heart. It's a heart condition. And so you need to work on that. Well, in this particular section of our study, we've talked about faith, how that is developed within us. We study God's Word. We learn God's Word. We come to understand it correctly. We believe it, and we make the correct applications to our lives, and then we live by that faith. That's how faith comes. Again, we keep saying, Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Now, how important is faith in your life? We've talked about that. It's all important. Just as we have to have physical food to sustain our physical bodies, faith is the spiritual food to sustain our spiritual life. And without it, we're looking at eternal condemnation in hell. But strong faith, faith that is correct, accurate, dedicated on a consistent basis, living by applying the teachings of God's Word correctly and consistently, that ultimately leads us to eternal life in heaven. So your faith is important. If you have weak faith, and we've been looking at this now, how do I overcome that? How do I develop strong faith? How do I maintain strong faith? Well, the step number one, we emphasized, you've got to become a diligent student of God's Word. Again, at the risk of sounding redundant and repetitive, it's an important understanding, a principle of truth. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. There's no substitute for that. Step number two, you need to become diligent in prayer. diligent in prayer. You need to, as the Apostle Paul put it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Now, he's not talking about praying every moment you're awake, every second you're awake. He's talking about continue to have that open prayer line to God, that open prayer line. One of the most spiritually vital petitions a Christian can make is, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11 and verse 1. The apostles asked Jesus that. Teach us to pray. We talked about how we need to pray to God to help my unbelief. Mark 9, verses 23 and 24. And also to increase our faith. Luke 17 and verse 5. I believe it's unfortunate, an unfortunate misunderstanding that so many people through the ages have taken this as a prayer that they should repeatedly recite, rote memory, just over and over again, not even thinking about what they're saying, really, in a lot of cases, I'm afraid, but just repetition over and over and over again, probably without much thought as to the meaning of the words thereby. And that's that Lord's Prayer. Jesus did not tell the apostles. In fact, I think it's simply a model prayer. If you look at all the components within it, all of the emphasis, points of emphasis, it's the kind of things that we ought to be praying about on a regular basis. But I don't believe he meant for them to simply, by rote memory, recite that prayer over and over and over and over and over again. But it gives us what to think about as we petition God, as we thank God, as we ask God to be with us and guide us. As indicated, I believe Jesus intended this prayer to simply be a model by which individuals can develop their own prayers. And certain points about prayer can be gleaned from this model prayer. It addresses and praises our Heavenly Father. It expresses submission to God's will for our lives, while at the same time petitioning God for his continued blessings. It seeks God's forgiveness for sin and also expresses our need to forgive others. It asks for God's protection from evil and temptation. And those are basic elements to include in prayer on a regular basis. Prayer is a personal communication line with God on the part of us, believers. Considerable thought needs to go into what we pray, what we include in our prayer life. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. We need to think about, what do I need to be praying to God about? What do I want to be praying to God about? Nothing is impossible for God. Luke 1 and verse 37. But you know, again, what are we talking about? How can I develop strong faith? How can I maintain strong faith? I have to be a diligent student of God's word. I need to be diligent in prayer. I need to keep that communication line with the throne room in heaven open continually. Prayer needs to be a part of my daily life, not just once or twice, but I need to be going to God in prayer repeatedly through each day. Stay in touch with him. Through the illustrations that Jesus used in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13, he encouraged us to be persistent in our prayers and assured us that God will always be there, that he always cares, that he will always listen to, and that he will always answer the prayer of the faithful. But we need to remember that God answers prayer in three ways at least. Sometimes he says yes, right away. Sometimes he says no. He knows best what we need. And sometimes he says wait a while, because he knows the right time. He knows the right time. We need to become diligent in our prayer life to God. As a Christian needs to continually pray for strength, Psalm 119, verse 28, and wisdom, James 1 and verse 5, in order to be able to successfully deal with all that life and the devil throws at us. A strong, consistent prayer life is essential to developing and maintaining strong faith. So, step number one, be a diligent student of God's Word. Step number two, to develop and maintain strong faith, be diligent in your prayer life before God. Step number three, serve God actively, diligently. Strong faith is necessarily active faith. James describes it as being working faith. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. He begins by asking the rhetorical question, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Just believing? Is that what real saving faith is? Real dedicated faith? No. Remember what faithfulness is? It is my faith put into action through obedience and dedication and service." James demonstrates the impossibility of separating faith from works, from action, from obedience, from service. Real faith, saving faith, strong faith is active. It works. James goes into great detail in showing that believing, the believing component of faith, cannot survive without the working component of faith. Both components have to be present for faith to be healthy and strong. And James explicitly states, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James 2 and verse 17. He repeats this truth, this time in the form of another rhetorical question in verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Do you realize that the only time the phrase faith only is found anywhere in the New Testament scriptures is in this same text from James chapter 2? It is found in verse 24. And it is preceded by the word not. There are a whole lot of people out there who are supposedly teaching people how they can be saved just by believing, faith only. The only time you read that particular phrase, faith only or faith alone, in the entire New Testament is found in James chapter 2 and verse 24. And this is what the text says. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James 2 and verse 24. There's no getting around. That's scripture. That's God's word. James wrote that by guidance from God through the Holy Spirit. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. That's not diminishing the importance of faith, but it helps us understand more fully what real saving faith is. It's working faith. And then he again emphasizes his point in a very direct manner at the end of the text. Verse 26, so faith without works is dead also. And he's making the comparison to the body without the spirit. Physical body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. James 2 and verse 26. Perhaps most striking is James' reference to the demons having enough faith to believe in God and in Christ. In fact, he emphasizes that they have so much faith to that extent, to just believe, that they tremble. They tremble at that reality. But they're still demons in hell. Verse 19 of James chapter 2. Now the demons, they have belief They know that God exists. They know that Jesus exists. No questioning about it. But they're not putting their faith into action through obedience. They're still the demons. They're still in hell. That's a comparison for us. Just believing is not enough. Our faith has to be put into action. Through obedience, through dedication, through service. It has to be working faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is filled with examples of individuals who not only believed in God, but who actively obeyed and served Him. Real faith, true faith, saving faith, diligent faith is obedient. It is active. It is serving faith. And just as physical exercise makes one stronger physically, so active exercising of one's faith makes one stronger spiritually. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Now, step one, I recognize that I have weak faith. I want to develop strong faith, and I want to maintain strong faith in God and in Christ. Step one, I've got to become a diligent student of God's Word. Step two, I need to become diligent in my prayer life before God. Step three, I need to become diligent in my serving God actively, dedicated. I need to put my faith to work in serving God. Step number four, I need to remain diligent whenever my faith is tested. Life in this world is tough. It's filled with many challenges, difficulties, hardships, and heartaches. The devil is real. He's powerful. And he really is your worst enemy, your adversary, as the Apostle Peter put it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Your faith is going to be tested over and over and over again. But again, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. As long as you walk with God faithfully, consistently, determinedly, He will never leave you on your own in the face of any challenge to your faith. He'll always be there with you. He'll always protect you. That doesn't mean He's going to keep the trials from you. He doesn't mean He's going to not let the devil tempt you. But He'll always be there with you to give you the way to say no, to give you the way to overcome the challenges and the difficulties. James even exhorted, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Another way of putting that is knowing that facing, going through with God's help and His presence right there with you, various trials, that the testing of your faith produces strength, makes your faith stronger, because you've learned that God will see you through and you can stay faithful. Understand what James said there about testing of your faith. It'll strengthen your faith. Paul said much the same thing in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. He wrote, "Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance," and that's strength, "and perseverance, character." Our character becomes stronger. Our Christian character becomes stronger. "And character, hope." And hope gives us strength. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. Peter warns that in this life, at times, you will be grieved by various trials, and that your faith will be tested by fire. Nonetheless, he assures that if you remain faithful, remain determined to stay true to your faith in God and in Christ, then he says you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you. He states that the ultimate result of your perseverance in your faith, your strong faith, determined faith, in the face of all trials, of all temptation, is the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is exactly in line with the assurance of our Lord in the letter to the church at Smyrna. He had John write, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10. Strong faith. We need to not just believe intellectually. We need to believe with all of our heart, with all of our life, with all of our being. And that means we're going to be active in our faith. And that's faithfulness. And that's obedience. That's dedication. That's serving. That's putting our faith in action. Putting our faith to work. Be watchful. Be diligent to develop strong, persevering faith. Study God's Word diligently. Be diligent in prayer. Actively and diligently serve God. And be diligent in the face of the trials that will test your faith, because they will come. Stand firm with God, and He will see you through. And your faith will become stronger and stronger. We'd love to help you. You can contact us through our website at churchofchrist.com. Churchofchrist.com. You can click on the email link and contact us that way. Or you can phone us at 402-498-8397. 402-498-8397. Or you can visit us in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. 3606 North 108th Street. We'd love to help. Let's pray. Father, help us to be strong in our faith. Help us to stand firm against all of the wiles of the devil and against all of the trials of life. Help us to serve you faithfully, actively, obediently, dedicated, working in your kingdom. Please help us. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.